This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Xiaoning and this is The Morning Run with Philip C. It is just gone past 7:17 in the morning, Monday, the 18th of January. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Fahmi Fazil, the communications director at PKR, for his take on the suspension of parliament. And of course, we're also running a poll on Twitter this morning at BFM Radio, asking you, should parliament continue to pass legislation under the emergency? Do let us know what you think. But in the meantime, let's talk about the emergency ordinance. Because according to the Emergency Essential Powers Ordinance 2021, that was gazetted last Thursday, neither parliament nor state legislatures can sit as long as the state of emergency lasts. Since then, both lawyers and lawmakers have questioned the rationale for the suspension of parliament since the emergency was proclaimed and the powers it gives the government.
According to Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, the state of emergency that was proclaimed by the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong last week was to curb the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic and its resulting economic downturn. Since then, the National Security Council announced that it has agreed to establish an Emergency Management Technical Committee made up of the IGP, the Health DG and other high-ranking officials to coordinate and oversee matters during the ongoing emergency.
So what is the effect of the emergency ordinance on Parliament and its proceedings? For more of this, we have on the line with us constitutional lawyer Datuk Malik Imtiaz. Now, can you just explain to us the difference of the declaration and an emergency ordinance? Is it just a process or do both differ?
Yeah, good morning. Well, there are two main steps to an emergency taking effect. The first is there has to be a proclamation. And so the question that rises now is whether or not the proclamation was made validly. Now, this is something within the domain of the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, and it's not a prerogative function, meaning that he cannot act in his own discretion. He has to act on advice. So the question really then would be whether or not the advice he received was in fact valid. So in from my standpoint, I think there's sufficient basis to say that there was, if there was objective basis for it, there was sufficient basis in law for there to be a declaration, because amongst the things that are taken into account is whether or not there's a threat to the economic life of the country. And one could reasonably argue that a pandemic does in fact threaten economic life. One could even say security and maybe even public order. So that's the first part. Now, the effect of that is to then vest executive function in the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, who is then advised by the National Operations Council or Security Council. And that, I understand, is what is in play at the moment. The second effect of it is this, and this is, I think, the thorny issue at the moment. What happens to Parliament? So looking at the Constitution, and I must say that this is an untested issue. It's not as yet been decided by the federal court. Looking at the Constitution itself, however, it seems to me that there is no basis in law to suspend Parliament. What can happen, as I understand the Constitution, is this, that if Parliament is not sitting and there is a need for law to be made, then that law can validly be made by the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, and we call that an ordinance. But the Constitution provides that the ordinance, as well as the proclamation, has to be laid before Parliament as soon as possible to enable Parliament to scrutinize, and even if Parliament thinks fit to annul. So Parliament can actually annul both an ordinance and to an extent consider and determine whether the emergency should continue. So we must remember that the emergency powers are exceptional. They are intended to safeguard the interests of the Federation, because threats to the Federation make it impossible for government to operate regularly. So that is the question. And so to my mind, given what the Constitution says, it seems to me that an ordinance which purports to suspend Parliament for a particular period of time does not fit within the constitutional framework as I understand it. And so that then raises serious questions about whether or not the ordinance is valid to that extent. Now, we must remember that while this is a decision of the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, and of course, all of us respect that office, we cannot ignore the fact that this is a decision made on advice and is not a prerogative function. And therefore, it's incumbent on the advising parties, in this case, cabinet and the prime minister, to ensure that the advice given is valid. I mean, the closest parallel I can think of is what happened in Brexit when the Queen's decision to prorogue was brought into court and ultimately it was concluded by the Supreme Court of the UK that the advice given was not valid in law and therefore the proroguing was not valid. So in a nutshell, that's it. An emergency allows for the suspension of certain constitutional protections. Laws can be made that contravene those protections, and we see elements of that in the ordinance itself. For example, right to property, right to use of property, etc., etc. During the emergency, as we understood the 69 emergency, certain laws were made that would even have allowed for circumvention of protections of life and liberty. We see some of that happening in East Malaysia and with regards to the incursions there. So you are allowed to do that, and that is achieved by way of an ordinance enacted by the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. But ultimately, it is contemplated that those be brought back before Parliament.
So would you say that you're in agreement with some of your colleagues? I mean, these 10 ex-Bar Council presidents, right, who issued a joint statement saying that actually Parliament should be the one who approves this emergency ordinance.
Well, I think my view is that, well, Parliament is not sitting at the moment, although it is in session. When I say in session, it means that the term of Parliament has not expired and Parliament is due to meet very soon. There is power to summon Parliament. But in the meanwhile, while Parliament is not formally sitting, then I think an ordinance can be made. And so then that ordinance has to be brought back to Parliament as soon as possible. So I would think that the appropriate thing to do now is to summon Parliament as quickly as possible to review the ordinance consider whether or not that is something that should happen. However, as we can see, the ordinance itself suspends Parliament. So the legal question is whether or not Parliament can even sit because it's been suspended by this ordinance. Now, I think there's one other thing that I should just point to. Some are saying that, look, Parliament was suspended during the 69 emergency. And I'm not entirely sure whether that's a correct characterization because, as we remember, 1969, the emergency was proclaimed before the elections were completed. So Parliament had been dissolved and Parliament had not been reconvened. And there was a vacuum because the elections had not been completed. And the elections were only completed 3 years later in 71 when Parliament resumed functions. So that's a very different situation because Parliament had as yet not been constituted after the election. The election had never completed. Here, on the other hand, we do have a sitting Parliament. And a parliament that can be summoned at quick notice to convene. We've seen prior to this that the COVID did not interfere with the operations of parliament. The speaker allowed parliamentary affairs to carry on, albeit with some restrictions. And I don't see any justification having been offered to say that parliament is in no position to sit because of this pandemic. But as I said, this is a matter that I think will ultimately have to go before the court. And one has to be cautious about any views involving the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. And so I think ultimately, as I said, this is an untested matter. And one would hope that the courts come in to determine this quickly as possible.
So you said essentially Parliament shouldn't be suspended based on these ordinances. But from what we've seen in the documentation, it seems the case. What kind of effects do you think this will have on bills that were supposed to be tabled this year then?
Well, I think it's fairly clear that if Parliament doesn't sit, then bills can't be debated and passed through the Houses of Parliament, which means that those laws don't come into effect. So if there are any laws which are of particular importance, and, you know, I've been reading about various bills that, you know, various quarters think are important, then unless ordinances are made to provide for those things in the short term, those matters don't come into law. And the protections those laws are intended to provide will not be present.
And just one very quick question, right, we have. I mean, this emergency ordinance gives Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin and his cabinet what appears to be very extraordinary powers. Is there any way of a check and balance or accountability that can be done if assuming Parliament doesn't sit?
Well, then I would think the only other way in which this can be questioned or considered is by way of a legal proceeding. And from what I've read, I think certain, I think PKR is already considering what to do there. So we must remember that the three primary organs of state are the executive, legislature, and judiciary. And the legislature and the judiciary are intended to provide some sort of checks and balances. And in this case, as I've said, the Constitution specifically provides that Parliament is to review the ordinances and consider whether or not they're required. So we're in a bit of a catch-22 at the moment. On the one hand, Parliament is meant to scrutinize, but on the other hand, Parliament has been suspended. So to my mind, the only way in which this can be resolved is through the courts and questions as to whether or not the Constitution does allow for this.
Okay, thank you for your time. That was constitutional lawyer Datuk Malik Imtiaz giving us his views. And like he said, it's a pretty much a catch-22 situation. We'll be watching this space clearly to see whether there are any legal challenges. But in a few minutes, we're going to be discussing the outlook for global banks with Fitch's global head of bank ratings. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.